بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, one of the best learning experiences that we can have in this world is by traveling. Through travel to different parts of the world, especially to those parts of the world where the Ummah has enjoyed victory, or certain parts of the world where the Ummah is enduring suffering, then it naturally either creates within us a sense of confidence when we go to those regions where victory was experienced and where conquest was realized, then naturally it creates within us a sense of confidence, a sense of happiness, a sense of joy, or a sense of empathy when visiting a region where the Ummah is suffering or the Ummah is experiencing hardship. And that creates within us the desire to exercise on constructive empathy. It creates within us the desire and activates within us the opportunity and the need to act. And there are so many regions around the world that we could visit. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would listen to the feedback from the Sahaba when they would travel to different regions. And they would come back and share the experience with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at times he asked them to relate that to the congregation. The famous example is that of the sea voyager Tamim ad-Dari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was on one of his travels before embracing Islam, while he was a Christian. And there was an experience that he had. And when he related that to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Nabi of Allah azza wa jal asked him to relate that to the Sahaba. He gathered the Sahaba and he was extremely happy at what he heard. And he was brimming with excitement and he wanted Tamim ad-Dari radiallahu ta'ala anhu to relate that to the Sahaba. One of the regions that we should visit and that we have the ability to visit, alhamdulillah, is the land of Sham. The land of Sham is a very special region. You will find that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not emphasized the significance of any other land to the extent that he had emphasized the significance of the land of Sham. Numerous ahadith, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praises the land, he praises the people of that land, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in at least 9 verses of the Quran has referred to that land as Ard Mubarakah, a blessed land. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Tuba lisham, Tuba lisham, Tuba lisham. Thrice he repeated this to the Sahaba. He says, how wonderful is the land of Sham. Congratulations to the land of Sham. I salute you, O the land of Sham. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala majma'in, they are in the Arabian Peninsula. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is congratulating the people of the land of Sham. So they are intrigued by this. And they ask the Nabi of Allah, what is so significant of this land? And this is one significance amongst many that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Tilka malaikatullah. basitu ajnihatiha ala biladi Sham, aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the entire region of Sham is such a significant and special place in the sight of Allah that there are angels who are created to permanently spread their wings over the land of Sham. One hadith to highlight the significance of that region. Now, when we speak of Sham, or when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke of the land of Sham, which region did he exactly refer to? So, the land of Sham, it comprises modern-day Syria. In fact, Syria is known as the capital of the land of Sham. Then Palestine, the entire Palestine, including occupied Palestine, Jordan, Lebanon, a small part of northern Turkey, a small part of, northern Egypt, a small part of southern Turkey, and a small part of western Iraq. Go back home, look at the map. It's important for us to understand the region of Asham. Why? Because we as an ummah, we are required to pay attention to that region. We are required to follow the events that take place in that region. We must always be concerned about and interested in and pay attention to the land of Sham. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken of great events that will take place towards the end of time. And you find all of those events will take place in the land of Sham. The land of Sham is the mashhad, it is the arena. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the point and to the extent of saying that make your hijrah towards the end of time when fitna will become manageable, inescapable. And we can see with the evolving nature of fitna and technology how difficult it is becoming for us to manage the environment or to protect ourselves and our families from the environments in which we live. In fact, those environments are in our homes very often. And there's no need to even leave the confines of the home to be exposed to fitna. Fitna is very often found within the home and without us even knowing that. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, سَتَكُونُ هِجْرَ بَعْدَ هِجْرَ. Towards the end of time, there will be migrations taking place. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you should make your destination of hijrah the muhajir of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What is the muhajir? The muhajir, the place of hijrah of Ibrahim. So the muhajir of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is al-Madinatu Munawwarah. And the muhajir, the place of migration of Ibrahim alayhi salam, is the land of Sham. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to that extent to emphasize the importance of that land. If you will not be in the arena, then you will be a mere spectator of the events that will unfold in that part of the land. So alhamdulillah, Allah gave us the opportunity. We know that the land of Syria, we said, you can regard that as the capital of the land of Sham. We know that approximately a year ago, in December last year, 2024, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the Mujahideen victory over the region and most of the land, apart from a few provinces that they were unable to gain control over. But majority of Syria was conquered. So Allah gave us, alhamdulillah, the ability and the opportunity to travel. And I strongly encourage every one of you who has the means to travel to that part of the region to undertake a journey towards the land of Sham and meet the people who were involved in the jihad and the struggle and who witnessed the genocide that unfolded in that part of the world. There was a genocide that took place for a period of 13 to 14 years. But unfortunately, due to lack of coverage and due to the restriction, many of us were unaware of the extent of the suffering of the people in that part of the world. The first city that we visited is Damascus, which is the capital of Syria, Dimashq. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about Damascus, the city of Damascus, which is in south or southern Syria. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that four cities are from the cities of Jannah. The first, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Makkatul Mukarramah. The second, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-Madinatul Munawwara. The third, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-Quds al-Sharif. And the fourth, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Madinatul Dimashq. The city of Damascus. To again highlight the importance and the significance of the city. And there is so much history, Islamic history, that you will learn when you arrive in that part of the world, in the city of Damascus. In Damascus, perhaps the highlight of your visit will be Al-Jami' Al-Umawi, which is known as the Grand Mosque of Damascus, and in fact it is the Grand Mosque of Syria. Al-Jami' Al-Umawi, the Umayyad Mosque, or the Umayyad Masjid. It is one of the oldest religious sites. It was not always a masjid. It was not constructed by the Muslims. It was constructed by a civilization that existed in that region, the Aramean civilization, approximately 3,000 years ago. It was a pagan temple. They were pagans, and they constructed this religious site of theirs. And then in the first century, this is AD, first century, it was Romanized. In the fourth century, it was Christianized. That same masjid that you will visit, it lies in the ancient city of Damascus. And that is where the famous cathedral of St. John the Baptist was constructed, whom we refer to as Yahya alayhi salam. The Christians believe that the head of Yahya alayhi salam is contained within the masjid. In fact, if you visit the masjid and you go into the masjid, you will find there is a tomb, and they believe that the head of Yahya alayhi salam is buried in that tomb. We know Yahya alayhi salam was assassinated by the Jews. Where? In the compound of Masjid al-Aqsa, at As-Sakhra, at the rock. That is where they would sacrifice. They would consider the slaughtering of the Anbiya as a sacrificial offering to Allah. So that is where they sacrifice Yahya alayhi salam. So it is believed, and this is biblical reports, historical reports. There are no authentic reports to support this claim that his head was transported to Syria, and that is where his head lies. And immediately after that, they assassinated his father. Zakaria alayhi salam, it comes as no surprise to us to witness the barbarism that they have subjected the people of Palestine to. They are the murderers of Anbiya. And they considered that as an act of righteousness. It was in 710, so about 1,300 years ago, when an Umayyad Khalifa. You had Al-Khilafat al-Rashida after Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. You had the Khilafah Rashida. Khilafah Rashida was founded by Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, followed by Umar, then Uthman, Ali, and Al-Hasan, Sayyiduna Al-Hasan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That period of the Khilafah is known as Al-Khilafat al-Rashida. Khilafat al-Rashida, 30 plus years, was followed by Al-Khilafah al-Umawiyyah, the Umayyad Khilafah. And that was followed by Al-Khilafah al-Abbasiyyah, the Abbasid Khilafah. So, Al-Khilafah al-Umawiyyah, the Umayyad Khilafah, was established by Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Who is Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu? He is the brother-in-law of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the brother of Habibah radiallahu ta'ala anha. Habibah radiallahu ta'ala anha is the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he is the brother-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the scribe of wahi. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entrusted him with this great amana of writing down the verses of the Quran as they were revealed. So he was one of the scribes, Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He is the founder of the Umayyad Khilafah. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu appointed him as the governor of Sham. And if you were appointed the governor of Sham, the entire region of Sham, it shows that you hold a very high rank amongst the Sahaba. So the sixth Umayyad Khalif, his name was Al-Walid. Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan. Al-Walid. Al-Walid is the brother-in-law of the famous righteous Khalif, Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz. We often hear the name Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, rahimahullah. He had a sister Fatima. His wife was Fatima. Fatima is the sister of Al-Walid. So this Khalif, Al-Walid, he is the sixth Khalif. In 710, he was the one who converted that cathedral or the church into a masjid. So the masjid that you visit today in Syria, in Damascus, is about 1,300 years old. He compensated the Christians. He gave them other land in and around the city in exchange for their religious site. And since then, it was converted into a masjid. Now, this is a significant masjid for a few reasons. Because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again, we emphasize the point that we must follow the events of the land of Sham. Because that is where the major events leading up to Qiyamah will take place. We must visit the land of Sham whenever we have the opportunity to do so. And we do have the opportunity to visit the land of Sham. We should go, proceed, visit, and see the extent of the destruction and the result of the genocide that was carried out by the Assad regime, backed by Russians, backed by the Iranians, backed by Hezbollah, backed by the Hazara Shia of Afghanistan. Utter destruction. Allahu Akbar. On the next level, if you want an idea of what Gaza looks like right now, you will find 100 examples of Gaza in Syria. We visited tens of towns. From the south, you travel right up to the north, to Aleppo. Aleppo is the industrial capital of Syria, Halab. It's on the border with Turkey. And from the south, right up to the north, you will visit city after city, and wallah, you only witness destruction. Unimaginable. From the masajid to the hospitals, to the schools, to their homes. And they are picking up more than just the pieces. They are picking up their lives and rebuilding their lives. And then you realize the extent of the genocide that was exercised over there in that part of the region. So in Damascus itself, there are many Islamic sites that you can visit. We spoke about Al-Jami' Al-Umawi. You visit the maqam of Salahuddin Al-Ayyubi, rahimahullah, the liberator of Al-Quds Al-Sharif, his mentor, Nuruddin Zangi, rahimahullah, Al-Malik Al-Adil. He was known as the just king of Damascus and the land of Syria. And he left behind a remarkable legacy. Nuruddin Zangi, rahimahullah, you will visit his maqam as well in the old city. Nuruddin Zangi, rahimahullah, what is the legacy that he left behind? You know what you and I know today as the Darul Uloom program, or the maktab system that we have, the madrasa, afternoon madrasa that we had? It was Nuruddin Zangi, rahimahullah, who introduced this in the Islamic world in a formal setting. During his era and during his time as the just king of Damascus and Syria, he established and he funded from his own wealth up to 40 madrasas. And when you visit his maqam, you find that he is buried in one of those madrasas. Subhanallah. He's buried along with his legacy that he left behind. And there's a need for you to be part of the rebuilding of the madaris that have been demolished. Play a role in the rebuilding of the land of Sham. We spoke about the significance and the greatness of that land. And that land will produce the mujahideen that will, inshallah, conquer the land of Al-Quds and Palestine. Be part of the victories that will take place in that land. You can play a share in that. And when we sat with the mujahideen and we met those who were part of the struggle and part of the jihad and who were part of the liberation, this is exactly what they said. We related to them our helplessness and expressed before them our embarrassment of not being part of this great victory. And they said, Wallah, the du'as that you made and the qunut nazila that you recited and the sadaqah that you gave were as powerful as the arrows and the bullets that we were shooting on the battlefield. Meet them, speak to them, hear their stories. And Wallah, you will feel so ashamed and embarrassed when you learn of the extent of sacrifice that people are giving for the sake of deen. Purely for the sake of deen. People have migrated, coming from affluent backgrounds. People with, subhanallah, high qualifications. But they understood they have a purpose in life. My objective in life is not the concern for myself only. But so long as injustice will prevail, jihad must prevail. And that's why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-jihadu maadin ila yawm al-qiyamah. Jihad must continue right up to the day of qiyamah. Why? Because injustice will remain. Oppression will remain. Hostility will remain. Against my ummah. Genocide upon genocide will take place against my ummah. You must stand up and have a role in suppressing the injustice that will be perpetrated against the ummah. So you are exposed to this experience in that part of the world. Great sahaba, hundreds of sahaba migrated to the land of Sham. They were part of the jihad. And you visit their maqam. You visit the maqam of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The grave of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, the muadzin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who migrated and who was part of the initial conquest that took place on the hands of Khalid ibn al-Walid, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, great sahaba. You go to the maqam of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, who we spoke briefly about him. Great mashayikh, ulama buried there as well, Ibn Asakir, rahimahullah. He is known as the Mu'arrikh and the Muhaddith of the land of Sham. He wrote a book on the history of Damascus, Mukhtasar Tariq Dimashq. He called it a brief history of Damascus. And guess how brief it is? 27 volumes. And he was encouraged by Nuruddin Zangi, rahimahullah. So Nuruddin Zangi, he produced mujahideen, liberators, in the form of Salahuddin Ayyubi, rahimahullah. And he also produced ulama and scholars and supported their works, like Ibn Asakir. The wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Umm Habiba radiallahu ta'ala, is buried in Damascus. The great Sahabi Dihya al-Kalbi radiallahu ta'ala, he is known as the Yusuf of our ummah, Jibreel alayhi salam. When he would come and visit Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would come in the form of who? Dihya al-Kalbi radiallahu ta'ala, who he's buried in Damascus. Sayyidu Tabi'een, the leader of all the Tabi'een, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised him. Uwais al-Qarani, rahimahullah, he's buried there. So there's so much to share with you, subhanallah. Obviously time does not allow us to do so. Then you go just outside of Damascus. There's no destruction in Damascus because Damascus was under the regime. It's a city that's crumbling, obviously, because of the corruption and because of the sanctions that were placed on Syria. So in terms of the infrastructure, yes, it's crumbling, but no destruction. People in Damascus were not even aware of what was happening beyond Damascus, right outside of Damascus. Or they didn't know the extent of it. And, you know, subhanallah, I'll share with you one experience that we had. We visited a school in Damascus, and a very prestigious, high-ranking, elite school. Top facilities. I don't think any of our schools has the facilities that we saw at the school. And this school was run by the regime, and the students or the children of the regime and so on and so forth who belonged to the elite families, they were educated at the school. SubhanAllah, you know, what was shocking, now the Mujahideen and the current government, they have taken control over the school. So we went on a tour, and we went into the library, and SubhanAllah, you are shocked at the type of literature that the young children were exposed to. No deen whatsoever. The objective of Bashar al-Assad and his father, Hafiz al-Assad, was to secularize them to a point where they had no affiliation with deen. Absolutely no affiliation with deen. You go into the library, you'll find books like Kadhalika Qal al-Asad. Kadhalika Qal al-Asad. This is what Asad says. Promoting the Ba'ath ideology, which is a combination of communism, Marxism, and so on and so forth. So completely the objective was similar to that of Atatürk in Turkey, to eradicate Islam, to secularize the people to a point where they dislike deen and they hate deen. And they do not want to have anything to do with deen. We then visited Al-Ghouta. Ghouta, significant region. It's known as Reef Dimashq, that's just outside of Damascus. All right? And Rasul Sassan says about the region of Al-Ghouta, that Al-Ghouta, Fustatul Muslimin, Yawm Al-Malhama. Rasul Sassan says the region of Ghouta, that region will be the last bastion, and that will be the last sanctuary of my ummah. But when you go to Ghouta, wallahi, it is the way you see Gaza today. Complete destruction. Complete destruction. Siege. 5 years, they were under siege. They built a city beneath the city, a network of tunnels. And there's so much history in that region, Al-Ghouta. It's a vast region. In Ghouta, we visited a city, or what was a city known as Jawbar. Jawbar, that is where Harmalat ibn al-Walid, the brother of Khalid ibn al-Walid, radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, that is where he is buried. He was the imam of the community of Jawbar. There was a masjid Jawbar. Then there's another jami', the main masjid in Jawbar, Jami' al-Asma'i. It's named after Abdullah al-Asma'i. The ulama will know the name Abdullah al-Asma'i, the great scholar of Arabic. He is buried there. He lived there amongst the people of Jawbar and so on and so forth. There's so much that I could share with you. But what is absolutely amazing is the people of the land of Sham. And then you understand why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why he praised them. They are constantly in a state of shukr. Wallahi, it is a great injustice on our part. And it is the height of ingratitude for us to complain about anything. When we have our neighbors in Sudan suffering the way they are suffering. Ar-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Wallahi la yu'min, Wallahi la yu'min, Wallahi la yu'min. Ar-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Wallah, that person has no iman. Wallah, that person has no iman. He may go to the masjid, he may pray tahajjud, he may fast every day of his life, but he has no iman. Who is he, Ar-Rasul of Allah? Man bata shab'an, wajaruhu bijambihi ja'i. The one who goes to sleep with a full belly. But his neighbors go to sleep while they are hungry and he knows of it. And he does nothing about it. He has no iman in him. Iman is that which motivates you to exercise the divinely pronounced union of ukhuwa. Innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa. We are brothers, regardless of race, regardless of color, regardless of region, regardless of language. What unites us is ukhuwa. Brotherhood. And that brotherhood, or the extent of the brotherhood and the strength or the effectiveness at which it is displayed is a sign of your iman. So let us, as we said previously, that we have a role to play. We should be part of the victory, the achievements, the positive developments that take place in the ummah. And we should also be very much involved concerned about and pay attention to the sufferings of the Muslim Ummah. And let us see how we can be part of the victories as well as part of the alleviation of the struggles of this Ummah. This is an Ummah that will struggle. That is the destiny of this Ummah. The destiny of this Ummah is that we will struggle. Because our worth is not based on worldly circumstances. Our value and our worth is measured by our concern for Akhirah, because that has value in the sight of Allah. This does not. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the understanding. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.